Getting after it, ladies.
While everybody's coming in, we're going to listen to a little theme song, little theme songies. Welcome to all the newbies. I see them pouring in. You can always tell. Attendance is high. All right. Hello, everyone. Hey, Alexis Varney. How are you doing? All right. Who all's here? Maybe from Ohio? Camp for All Girls in the House? Got some accountability. If y'all see a hashtag, it's camp. It's accountability groups. So if you're already in an accountability group, hashtag it up. Y'all, it's going to be busy tonight. Nobody flip a wig. We're going to have a lot of comments tonight. So what I'm going to do is let it rock out just for one more minute, and then we're going to get started. Everybody have your little workbooks. If you ever come to camp, this is what we listen to, y'all. Y'all have been doing all these classes. I am like the salty six. I love it. This is awesome. All right. Let me turn the music down. Well, let's do this. Let's go to where it actually gets good. All right, everybody. All right. This is where we all try to sing our best at camp and we suck. All right, let's get started. Let me turn my regular mic on. Welcome, everyone.
Oh, all right. No B yeses. Y'all have some good name. Girls Gone Wow. Clean Slate Club. All the things. Beauty Babes. Single. Lady Ooh. Y'all are funny. Look how many. The Driven Diamonds. Y'all are so good. Women Who Wine. The Fab 50s. The Mighty Michigan Mamas. Oh my gosh. Y'all are so good. Okay. So hope everybody has your workbook. We are going to get started. We are going to talk about all things getting our shit together for 2020. It is that time of year. And so what I did is I didn't get to complete it all the way, but I have spent the last 30 minutes going through this, making notes, like part making notes for you guys, but also going through the material myself so that I know exactly what you guys are going through. So here's how today works. All right. This is a Zoom group call, and I'm going to teach. I cannot see you, and I cannot hear you. So if you are on this call, you do not need to worry. You can have all the noise going on in the background. It will not bother me because I can't see or hear you. At a certain point during the call, I am going to ask if anybody would like to get coached. I have a couple of spots where I'm going to have somebody maybe go through the worksheet with me, or at least go through a couple of things that are in the worksheet. Sorry, my thing is all twisted up here. So we will do that. And then if you have questions, guys, you can ask questions in the Q&A, but what I'm going to ask you guys to do is to save questions until the end. So if you printed off your workbook, write your questions on the back of the last page, and that way you will remember, like, that's my question. And if I answer it at some point, then you can just fill it in and you won't have to ask it again. If you want the workbook, guys, it's on the website now. So it came out in the Massive Action Line. It also went out in the Zoom notice. We sent everybody an email saying Zoom call starting now. I think we attached it in there. Sorry, my hair is buck wild. But if you just want to go to pnptribe.com, you can go over there, go to workbooks and bonus, the weight loss resources and bonus courses. Just look for the 2020 workshop. I think it's over there. I know if everybody will stop talking in the chat for just like give Kathy like 2 minutes of no talking, she can post the link and then people can find it real quick. That way everybody can see it. All right. Let's get started. All right, guys. So the first thing that I want to talk about is we're going to talk today a little bit about like how do we get ready first. So we're going to do some past reflection. We're going to think about where we're going. We're going to talk about like what we mean things. We're going to compare ourselves to somebody else who's successful. We're going to do quite a few things. The reason why I pulled all this together the way I did is because I feel like I'm one of those people that can set a goal and can achieve it. Now, that does not mean that Corinne is perfect at every goal. Like, I think her best friend is on this call. And if her best friend Jane is listening, Jane knows, like, there are times that Corinne has personal goals that she talks her bestie about. I actually have a private life. It's amazing. I know that y'all probably think, what? You actually hold some shit back? But sometimes I have goals and I have things that I want to do and I don't pull the trigger either. And so I'm constantly working on it. The difference between me and you that I think happens is that the reason why I tend to achieve so many of the goals that I set for myself is I work really hard on understanding the difference between when I set a goal, how I'm getting there. Am I beating myself up on the way, or am I encouraging myself on the way, staying very focused on where I'm going? Am I figuring out how to enjoy my process to get there? Am I setting goals and then engineering, like, all right, here are the things that I'm going to do. And of those things that I'm going to do, the things that don't work out, what are we going to try next? So I think that is what makes me really good at so many of the things that I have set goals for. Is this? It's a mindset. There are not people in the world who are just like born goal-getters. I was not born a goal-getter. You do not weigh 250 pounds. I have been alive 45 years, 30 something of them, I was overweight. So it was not because I was born that way. I'll tell you what, if there is static going on, I'll tell you what I'll do. Let me just turn off this mic.
Let's go back to the iMic. And then that way you guys will not have to deal with that. It's probably just because I sat on it earlier by accident and I'm probably got my wires crossed. All right. So people aren't born successful. People aren't born, like, it's easy for them. I was literally just talking, Jane, like, we were talking yesterday about the difference between, sometimes we get caught up in our diaper about, like, when we're trying to do something, right? And we'll say things like, it's just easy for them. It's so easy for them. And that is such a painful thought for all of us. It is not easy for anyone to do anything. It's also not hard for anyone to do anything. There are just people in the world who make a decision to do something and they don't allow their drama to run the show. They don't allow themselves to think bullshit stuff over and over and over again and just keep on believing it. Like, my husband is a really good example. Like, when I use him in this workbook, he just decides he's going to do something and then he goes to work on doing it and he fails and he doesn't like sit around for a couple of days and eat ice cream over it. And then he'll fail again and he doesn't make it mean that he's never going to get there. He's always on the pursuit of, what can I just try next? Obviously, this process is wrong. Like, he never thinks he's wrong as a human. And so what I've learned over the years, this was not something I was born with. I used to be someone who was like straight dope, thought I was broken as the day is long. What I've learned over the years is how to re-engineer how I think about my goals, re-engineer how I talk to myself about my goals, how I, like, what steps that I'm going to do. Like, I still to this day meet myself where I'm at with all my goals, no matter what I set. I always am trying to figure out ways to do things in a way that feels very doable, very realistic, and very achievable. I get those things done, and I move on to the next group of things that are very doable, very realistic, and very achievable. And I just keep moving my path forward. I also am one of those people who doesn't tend to be in a huge rush to get to the end. And let me tell you why. For years, I wanted to lose my weight fast. For years, I wanted to, I just wanted things to be done right now. Like, I'll just feel better if I get things done right now. And what I really learned over the years is that when I was in the mindset of feeling like I had to get it done fast, I set myself up to do a lot of things that I was not prepared to do fast. I just learned something about myself, and that is when I meet myself where I'm at, and I'm very honest about it, and I don't shame myself over the pace at which I go, I get to where I want to go so much faster. It's a lot slower when I start off balls to the wall, trying to do all the things, thinking that my goal is going to make me so happy, and then I fizzle out and have to start over, and I have to start over, and I have to start over. That is the slow road. It's like I was talking about earlier today. It is like deciding to drive down the road with the parking brake on and hoping you're going to get there fast. It's not going to happen. Okay. When will the replay be up for this call? Oh, it will be up tomorrow. So when I get done, guys, I will make sure that it gets on the website. We turn things around really quick. And since this is a 60-day plan, does that mean we'll go through this workshop together in 60 days? This workshop will be recorded. So guess what? Every 60 days, you can go through the workshop with the workbook yourself, and you can put that into your plan. We're going to talk about that today. So this will become one of those things that you can do. Now, a lot of things that one of the things that we do is we do recaps every month. Like I did yesterday, I did the, like, how do you review your month end? You have that in your planner. So you'll be able to watch this every 60 days, guys, and do this same call over and over again. I am going to tell you, you will hear me say my spiel that I just said next time. And if you do the work in the next 60 days of like showing up for yourself and doing the things you said you would do in here, you will hear it completely different. That is the power of listening to all the replays. That is the power of doing these worksheets over and over again. Never think that if you do our worksheets 2, 3, 10 times, that's a waste. So many of you are like, I just want something brand new and shiny. I just want something brand new and shiny. You don't need new hotness all the time. What you need is you need to do it with the new version of you, the version of you that's thinking differently, the version of you who's at a different place in your life. You're doing it new hotness every single time because you're always changing. All right. So let's talk about the word fail. The very first thing I want to talk to you about is the way that we're going to get our 60-day goal, ladies, is we are going to have to build upon success. There's going to be two things that are going to happen today. We're going to think about things that we already do right, which most of you do not practice near enough of. This is an exercise we do almost at every workshop that I host. So if you come to a camp or you come to one of my workshops, You just about could bet your life on this work, on this one thing. Make me a list of all the things that are wrong with you. And everybody is like, where is my pen? I'm going to run out of the ink. Let's do this. And then I'm like, all right, now here. I want you to make a list of all the things that are amazing about you. And I kid you not, this is what happens. I will play all the sad music. Every single time we listen, I'm really good at finding the world's most sad coffee shop type music, guys, that's acoustic. I will play the first one and everybody will write all the things and they'll have pages and pages of everything that's wrong with them. Like, where's the tissue? Then I ask them to tell me what's right about them. And they are stumped. They can't do it for 10 minutes. And then they cry harder in that moment. That is the time where the real tears come out. Because we suddenly realize the opinion that we practice of ourselves. So one of the things that if you're going to make your goals, you have to be better at practicing an up-leveled opinion of yourself than you are at practicing the downgraded version of you. All of us have an opinion about ourselves. And it's going to be really key for you while you're here at PNP to learn how to upgrade. I am working on your next version of you. You're coming to me as 1.0. For those of you that have been here for a while, you may be 2.0 and 3.0 by now. We always got another version that we can build into. You are never going to stop growing. You are never going to stop leveling yourself up. You can't ever level up your opinion too much. You can't ever level up the vision you have for yourself. You just can't do that work too much. Now, it may feel exhausting at times. It may feel tiring and hard, but it's only feeling that way probably because you're thinking something like, this is a waste of time because I don't believe it. This isn't going to work. That's how we wear ourselves down mentally. But I am going to tell you, I am famous for telling people, if we're going to go to bed every night, we are going to go to bed exhausted because we have thought about our food today, because we have worked really hard on stopping the self beatdowns. We are going to go to bed whipped from being the best version of ourselves, from striving to be that person, versus going to bed whipped by our own mind, by our own opinion of ourselves. If you're going to go to bed exhausted every night, guys, at least in the beginning, go to bed exhausted because you're going down swinging. Don't go down because you gave up on yourself. It's just no way to live. So the next 60 days, I need you guys to redefine your relationship with the word failure. I like to just call it failure because this is what happens. You guys will come on to coaching calls. Because the next 60 days, all of you, I don't care how long you've been in the tribe. If you've been in the tribe, if you joined in the last 20 minutes, you're like, hot damn, first call, I'm in. Let's do it. Or if you've been in the tribe for 2 years, and you're like, hot damn, tonight's the night that we're doing the workshop. I'm all in. Wherever you're at in this journey, the next 60 days, there will be mistakes. There will be fails. You're supposed to. And it's not because you're broken or because shit don't work or whatever. If you're failing and you're making mistakes, it's because I know you're trying. It's because I know you're up, you're trying to become 2.0 version of you. That is what it means. We have to redefine our term failure. I want you to collect fails. I want you to figure out, like, okay, if I can't see my failures, then I've given up. It's like a lot of you are going to start off with the planner. This is what happens. You get the planner. You're like, what? Oh, finally. I've been seeing this shit on Instagram. Corinne's always like videoing herself doing a plan. I'm in. This is hot and this is new. 2 weeks later, you ain't followed a realistic plan yet. You're all like, what the fuck is this hunger scale about? Like, I keep trying. I don't know what's happening. This is just, oh, all the time rotten. What is wrong with PNP? Here's what we know. You are going to stop if you think that everything going wrong there is a reflection of you not being able to succeed. If you make all of that mean, you're a failure. The way I look at it is like, well, now I got some data. I never get worked up. Like, if you guys can watch archive calls, people will come on and they will have their data and they will be for sure knowing they're going to break me. Now I'm going to be disappointed. I'm the one that disappointed the queen. I got all this data. I'm the fucking shit show. And I'm like, well, tell me, like, what's going on? And they start telling me, I'm like, well, tell me about this one thing. And I just start digging in. To me, it's information. It's breadcrumbs on the trail to figuring out what we need to work on next. Then I can, like, give you advice. Just like you can do the same. You can use that information if you don't think of it as your big personal stack of personal fails. So here's what I want you guys to do in the comments. I want you guys to come up real quick. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Right now, like, this is not in the workbook yet, but I want you to come up with, what am I going to make it mean when I make mistakes? What am I going to make it, like, what is the word failure now going to mean to me? And I want you to type some. Growth, I'm going to fail up. One of our favorite sayings. All right, slow down. Learning nugget. I tell you what. One of my favorite statements that came out of the tribe all time was, someone said, why am I going to make, why not take my fuck up and turn it into a fail up? It's always an option. It is. You get to decide what it is. It's an opportunity. I love this. I heard this the other day. When you make your mistake, what lesson is this trying to teach me? What am I supposed to be learning right now? Like, I don't need you guys to be like confetti guns every time you make a mistake and feeling all warm and fuzzy about it. But what I don't need you to do is be in the toilet either. There is a lot of water we can tread in the middle of the river of misery here. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about when I make mistakes, when I overeat, I want you to immediately drop into, what is this trying to teach me? What is my opportunity to learn here? What's the lesson I'm supposed to gather? Because it's already happened. You have two choices. You can beat yourself up over it, or you get to learn from it. But you'll always be the one who makes the choice. No one else will. And I just always feel like if the choice is in my hands, I will always make the best choice for me. At every opportunity, even if my last choice wasn't the best choice for me, by God, my next one will be. And that's how I like to do it. I love this. I say this all the time. This is an opportunity to love myself. For a lot of you who really struggle with self-care and self-love, every time you get on the scale, every time you overeat, every time you think something negative about yourself, you walk in front of a mirror and you throw shade. You wrestle with your pants and your brain automatically is like, fatty. You know how we do. You need to immediately redirect and say, this is an opportunity to love myself in this moment. That's how you learn to start changing how you think about yourself. And that, when you start changing how you think about yourself, changes the outcome of your goal in 60 days. You have to become a different person in order for you to reach whatever your 60-day goal is. All right. So we are going to fail. We're going to examine that shit. We're going to figure out what to do next time. My famous statement is always, what is the next best decision right now? I get to make my next best decision. I coach a lot of people that binge eat. And I tell them very often, when you are in the middle of a binge eat, you get the opportunity to tell yourself, what is my next best decision? It might be keep eating, but only this much. It may be once the binge is over, my next best decision is I need to apply and learn. Or maybe I need to take a break from myself for a minute. Now is not the time to examine all the thoughts and try to do a journal and try to do all the things. Now is not the time to fix myself. Now's the time to just be still for a minute. So always be asking yourself, what is my best decision? What is my next one? If you go out to eat and you catch yourself eating the appetizers, you didn't plan the appetizers, you got a fuck it moment or you got a next best decision. Eat half your dinner. Don't just go ham. If you're in the middle of the ice cream at night, you ready to stop? You can stop whenever you want to. You can stop at the end, or you can stop now when you caught yourself. It's just a decision. Somebody's like, what does ham mean? Going ham just means like going to town. So there you go. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to examine our recent past, guys. And we're going to learn from it. We're going to set our goal. We're going to create a path to get there. And we're going to learn how to fail. So I want to talk about, I've been talking about this in these free trainings I've been doing, but I want to share this with you guys because I haven't shared this with the tribe yet. So if you've been to one of the free trainings, this is a repeat for you. Just take more notes. All right. Number one is the magic of 60 days. So a while back, I guess it'll be 2 years in May, I think, is when we released the planner for the first time. There was something in my head that was like, 60 days is about what these girls need. 60 days is about the life cycle of when someone goes through like an evolution of thinking, like habits, that there's research that about 60 days is about how long it takes for a habit not only to form, but for you to get used to the habit, for you to be ready to move on to a new habit, for you to like make enough tweaks to have the habit be on autopilot, to not be, you know, like to not be making as many mistakes as you will in the beginning. It's like it takes about 60 days to find that groove. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But the other thing that I realized is that most people, yeah, it is science. It's 66 days, but I just do 60 for an even because it's a lot easier to tell you guys we're going to do a 60-day plan than a 66-day plan. But here's the other thing, is that it also keeps your goals in a shorter frame of reference. So what I have found over the years, I've been doing this for 12 years, and I watch you guys set goals and stuff. All the years that I've tried to get you to set like an end goal weight, more people blow up on that than they succeed. It is very hard for your brain to attach to that goal and not freak out. Now, I could teach you how to not freak out and we could do all that kind of stuff, but I just want to get you there faster. I want to get you to losing weight faster. I want to get you to thinking better faster. I want to get you to feeling good faster. And so I looked back at like, all right, did I even think about having like 100 pounds to lose? I was like, fuck no, I didn't. I do this a lot. I write about what it was like for me back in the day. Y'all always wonder, like, how do I stay very grounded to the version of me that was 250? It's because I write about her a lot. I write letters to her. I try to remember my memories. I go through old pictures. I just do a lot of like going back and befriending her, which I encourage a lot of you to do. A lot of you don't like the old version of you or don't like the current version of you. Hey, look, that 250-pound chick that was sitting on the couch, that version of me, we are the same person. I can't be hating on her. I'm really grateful to her. She had to do the hardest work of all. She was the one that had to take the first step. She was the one that had to go from doing nothing to doing something and overriding all of her bullshit programming and it being good enough. If I had to guess between the two of us, who was the strongest on any given day, it was that bitch. She was way stronger than me. Her obstacles that she had to overcome were so much bigger than mine are now because I learned from watching her and from being compassionate to her. So that's why I say very grounded in it. So I was looking back and I was like, I never set big goals like that. I always stayed really in the present moment. So I started thinking like, all right, but I do want to teach you guys goal setting. So 60 days is about the sweet spot. About every 60 days, you guys want something new and fresh. It's like by the time that 60 days is over, you've gotten really used to what you're doing. This is exciting. You're ready for a level up. You're ready to set another 60-day goal. And you're not setting goals that are so far and so big that you can't attach to them. So that is one of the reasons why we do that. The other thing is there are three phases, guys, and you have this on page one. There are three phases to the habits. So the 60 days are basically broke up into 20, 20, 20. Number one is the obvious phase. The obvious phase is where you're first doing whatever you're doing. So many of you are going to be in the obvious phase right now. You are going to be planning for the first time, paying attention to your hunger for the first time, scheduling to drink your water for the first time. There are so many things that are going to be like, this is the first time. During this phase, you have to be very obnoxious about your habit change. You have to think about it a lot. You have to be very purposeful. You have to be very focused. You have to remember all the time that you're doing it. You're going to have during this phase, this is where the old automatic behavior is the loudest. So if you're not used to paying attention to your hunger. Let's do this one. This was the one that always blows people out of the water first. Well, Corinne, I can wait till I'm hungry. Like a lot of people, like for some reason, wait until you're hungry tends to be the one that's like, I can do that first. It's stopping. Holy shit. Like it tastes so good. I'm a mindless eater. I don't like listening to myself. I eat with the TV on. Like, girl, I got the Bill of Rights over here when it comes to everything standing in my way to listening to when I'm satisfied, knowing when I'm satisfied, and then being willing to stop when I'm satisfied. So on that end of the spectrum, during the first 20 days, it will be painful. And not painful like ow, but it will be painful because it has to be very conscious. Like you're going to need to set a timer on your phone every time you eat. Just be like, okay, so here we go. I'm going to give myself a ringy dingy in 5 minutes so that I actually set my fork down and I look at the plate and I breathe for 30 seconds to 60 seconds and I ask myself questions. Like that is how you start dialing into hunger. So no, you are not going to do this when you go out to eat. Like everybody's like, but why did you go out to eat with someone? Oh my God, it's so embarrassing. Well, don't do it then. But all the other 42 times you're going to eat this week, you can for fuck sure do that. So we're not going to use excuses. But during that first phase, what we're going to do is we are going to be very deliberate about things that we're doing. Now, during this phase, your motivation is high. You're usually excited. So even though you have to be obnoxious, even though you have to think really hard and all the things, you're also like a little bit excited about it. So it's not as painful as it could be. It's more like it's exhausting. It's like, whew, it's more work than I thought. Shit, what are you talking about? That's what the first 20 days is about. Full of mistakes too. Full of them. Because like, especially if you're not used to paying attention to hunger and you're not paying attention to when you're full, guess what? You'll forget. And then you have a choice. Next best decision. Are we going to be like, see, so hard. Shit. I'm like 55, Corinne. You're only 45. I've got 55 years of not paying attention stacked against me. Who gives a shit? I don't care if you got 55 years or 5 minutes. It's a decision. So are you going to, when you noticed you forgot, figure out a strategy for next time? Or are you going to sit there and whine about how old you are and how long you've been doing this? It'll be a choice. You can either go back to three-year-old days and whine about it, or you can be a grown-ass woman and decide, this is something to fix. It's time to pay attention. What am I going to do next time? Phase two. All right, so for all of my newbies, Corinne is just a little bit more animated behind the scenes than she is. I don't get this animated in the podcast usually, but this is why y'all love me. Phase two, purposeful phase. This is where it starts, like the motivation, the excitement settles down. So we're not riding high. We're in the middle of it. It's not automatic at all. We're still having to think about it. But you start noticing that it's a little bit easier to remember things. It's a little bit easier to see when you're doing things. So you don't have to like freak out like, oh my God, I'm not getting it. It's like, okay, I'm catching myself now in the middle and I'm redirecting. I'm catching myself now in the middle and I'm redirecting. This phase right here, we're going to talk about your compelling reason, which is just your why. That's all that means. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But this phase is when you're doing this part of the process, you start remembering why you're doing it. Like, oh, the reason why I'm not going to eat my Oreos tonight is because I want to feel good tomorrow morning. There's a little bit more of a calm during the middle phase. It's not easy. It's not happy tunes. But there's more of a sense of like calm about it. Like, you know that you're working on it. You're cleaning your brain up. You're focusing on why you're doing all of the work. So you're feeling a little better about it. The third phase is called the boring phase for a reason. it's boring. There's no more excitement. You're still having to think about it. The old desires still pop up, but you're starting to automatically go to the new one. But this is what I commonly see. You start whining that you're still thinking about your old Oreo habit. You're like, oh, it's been like 45 days. And every damn night I want the Oreos and I have to remind myself we're not having them. And then I go do my next thing. That whining phase is the high sign you're about to turn it into a more normalized habit. The brain will throw up. Like, it's like, oh my gosh, like we don't have a reward yet. Like your brain is not taking pleasure yet from doing the new behavior. So it's still trying to hang on and send up a signal like, are you sure? There's a little happy over here with the Oreos and you keep telling me no. Are we sure we're going to let this go? In this phase, the way to make it go faster is to, rather than whine about you still wanting Oreos, you start telling yourself, yeah, but look at me. I've been doing this like 45 days. It's some good shit. Like every day I wake up in a really good mood. You start like telling yourself how successful you are. That is the little dopamine hit that your brain needs to be like, what? This feels good. This is pleasure. Oh, we should put your new habit on autopilot because you like it. You keep choosing it. And now we're getting a sweet ass reward behind it. That is how that habit cycle works. And it does take about 60 days. That is why I keep your weight loss very simple. We're not working on 5,000 things. We have four basics. We're not changing all of our food. We're working on four basics. We make very realistic plans because for most of you, it is enough to lose your weight and a lot of it for a long time, not having to take most of your food away. You get to keep it. You're just not going to eat the fuck out of it because you're pissed or because you're upset or you're worried you're going to have to go on a restrictive diet tomorrow. We're going to work on simple steps so that these habits become really easy for you. And then we can start working on the habits of mindset stuff. This is the early introduction to all the mindset stuff. Now, I will tell you, the more you listen in PNP to some of the coaching calls and stuff, you listen to your no BS, like get through your no BS lessons. Like every week, like decide what you want to listen to for the week. And when that's accomplished, if you ever have bonus time, either listen to those lessons again or fill your head with some of the coaching calls. Fill your head with calls like this where you're just listening. You're like, oh, that makes sense. It starts slowly retraining your brain how to think in a new way. So often, guys, new thinking happens solely because a new perspective is introduced to you. I mean, change very often has something to do with someone new comes into your life. Hello. Something new comes into your life. Hello, you're in the tribe. Or a new perspective comes into your life. And that will be me saying things that you've never thought of for yourself, that you didn't even know you were allowed to think. So many of us have never been taught to even question the shit we think about ourselves. We don't even know it's optional until somebody points out it is. So the journaling and all that kind of stuff, guys, it's not going to be near as heavy as you think it is. We're not going to be like getting down and with our shovel and like digging up the old bones and crying. And we're going to need like 3 days in a cave with a shawl trying to figure out how we're going to survive. No. We're going to be introduced to new perspectives. You're going to write so you can tell me like, this is what I'm thinking. Well, have you thought about it this way? Not really. That sounds better. We're going to unwind a lot of it. I just need you to listen. I just need you to show up. I just need you to be open-minded to doing it. That's it. It's not going to be that hard. All right. On the back, on page 2, we'll be moving faster soon. Worthy fails and escape fails. I just want to make a note about this. There are two types of fails that we do. So when we make a mistake, when something doesn't work out, when we don't lose the weight we think we want to lose and stuff, it's always because of two things. The first one could be a worthy fail. This means, like I like to say, this is the person who comes on a call with me who says, Corinne, I've been doing my realistic plan. I'm doing my hunger scale. I'm doing all the things. The scale's not moving. And when we dive in and they are doing the things, then this is called a worthy fail. This has nothing to do with them being a problem, their thinking being a problem. This means the system, like they are doing the things. And when they're consistently doing the things, the only thing that has to get tweaked is the things. So we start testing, we start trying. Escape fails is when you don't get the result you want because you didn't give it 100%. So this is the person who comes on a call and says, I'm doing all the things. I'm like, well, tell me about your numbers. Well, like 80% of the time I'm eating on plan. Like what? Then we have 20% of the time we're escaping our plan and our emotions with food. So I'm doing it 80% of the time and I am expecting 100% of the results. So it's really important that whenever you weigh in, you look at, did I show up 100% first? And if I didn't, then I have a thinking problem. That's it. For some reason during the week, I chose to eat or there's something going on. If you look at your numbers at the end of the week, they don't match up to what you think they should. And you have 100% of your stuff is done. Then you just look at the process. I'm like, all right, something in the process. I need to test something. I need to try to change something. I need to reach out and ask for help on, you know, what might work for someone else. Maybe I need to leave 2 bites behind. Maybe what I think is my +2 is really a +2.5. Who knows? I'll know next week because I'm going to try something different. So those are the only two fails. So I want you to look at this paragraph. When you're looking at what works and what doesn't, it's really important to know when you are showing up 100%, the process needs to be tweaked. When you aren't showing up 100%, your thinking needs the tweaking at that point. We don't go to the process yet. We don't, like yesterday I coached someone on a call who she just knew it was the process. She'd be like, I've been stalled, man, like 3 months. I think I need to cut bread. I got to cut the bread, Corinne. That's got to be it. And I'm like, well, she was talking about a realistic plan. I said, well, what have you been putting on it? Like, are you following it 100% time? And I said, well, let's look at your last 30 days. Like, well, like, you know, 4 times I overate and a couple of days I didn't plan. And like, she had these things going on. And I said, so it's not the realistic plan is not working. We don't need a process tweak yet. What we need is we need to figure out why on these days, like I asked her about her +2. I asked her about, are you waiting till you get hungry? And she's like, 100%. Like, I know my hunger and I don't mind waiting on it. And I said, what about your +2? I think I am. Like, you know, probably. I said, would you bet $50,000 on it? No. Okay, well, when we get to where we can bet $50,000 on the +2, then we know we have that dialed in. So we don't have to cut bread. We need to still work on our +2. Simple as that. We got data. We have thoughts about ourselves. So now we tweak that. And guess what? She's going to start leaving a little food behind to see what's happening. She's like, I don't really leave food behind very often. I said, maybe you should try. Maybe that's what the stall is telling you. You've lost enough weight that needs to be the next level up. That's how we figure stuff out. All right. So, guys, I'm not going to have you do the get in your mind right where it says, what do you want to accomplish by the end of the workshop? You guys can do that on your own. I'm sure you know why you're here and what you want. So let's go on to our past reflection sheet, page 3. When we are looking at why we miss our goals, there are 6 reasons. The first one is something actually got in our way. So sometimes, like when I was losing weight, I remember when I was training for a triathlon and I was like really getting after it. Like, because I was slow as Methuselah, my training took 3 hours a day, whereas my partner's took an hour because, you know, mama was slow. So I was doing all the things and I wasn't eating enough. So something was getting in my way. Like, my nutrition at that time was getting in my way. I hadn't learned yet how to eat like an athlete, even though I was acting like one. Sometimes our period gets in our way. Like, you might not eat your face off during your period, but I'm going to tell you, when my period starts, ask anyone, 4 pounds. Guys, if you don't know what a plus two is, do not worry about it. You're going to learn it as soon as you start your no BS. It's just the hunger scale. It's the, am I hungry? Am I satisfied? So something actually gets in your way. Sometimes you get sick. Like right now, my girlfriend's got a broke pelvis. Guess what's getting in her way of being an athlete? A broke ass pelvis. She ain't got a, if she was going to do a race with me, she's going to miss the race. This isn't a Jane has a problem. This is a Jane has a broke ass. Number two, you didn't believe you could do it in the beginning. So this is why I keep you at a 60-day goal, and then I have you start practicing. Like, I don't need you to believe you can lose all your weight yet. I need you to believe that you are going to make the most of your time here, that you're going to give yourself to the program. I need you to figure out the little things that you're willing to believe right now. Like, I'm willing to believe I'll work on myself. I'm willing to believe I will show up when I don't want to. I'm willing to believe there are times I will not want to and times that I will fail, but I won't quit. You get to believe whatever you want. But one of the reasons why we miss our goals is we give up believing in ourselves. And so you have to figure out, what are the little things I'm willing to believe? And these are things, guys, that I highly recommend you take to the Facebook group and you discuss over there. Like, I'm working on the things that I'm willing to believe. What are you guys working on? And y'all get all chatty in a thread about it. You will have all kinds of ideas on, oh, I never thought I could just believe that. That sounds good. You'll have different little beliefs you can try on. So what do you need to believe? My favorite that got me off the couch and that kept, like, literally it helped me when Logan got diagnosed with autism. It, like, this one sentence has saved my life so many times, has made me a better person so many times. I'm going to figure it out. That is what you fill in the blank on number two. The second thing is, I'll have to drop self-judgment and false expectations of how things should be. I'm going to tell you, I really had to work when I was losing weight on, there was nothing that should be happening. I shouldn't be eating better than I was. I just needed to figure out, what is the next best decision? I had to quit thinking Logan shouldn't have been diagnosed with autism. I had to start thinking, we're going to figure this out. Spending in time thinking about how things should be is called waste of time. Nothing should be anything. Everything just is. What are you going to do about it? The third thing is a lack of knowledge. You guys are going to have the no BS. You're going to have all the knowledge you need in here. So for a lot of us, we miss goals. We miss our weight loss goals because we just don't know what we need to be doing. You're going to learn everything you need to be doing in here. Number four is, you lacked a bunch of whys and one that speaks to you easily and loudly. When you go through the planner course, there is a lesson called the compelling reason. If you went through my free workshop, I had you do the why brain dump. For all of my tribe members, it's a TDL on why you want to lose weight. That's it. Set a timer, 10 minutes, write all your whys. Boom, and you're done. For those of you who want to, like, have more detailed ones, that compelling reason worksheet breaks your health up into four main categories. And you list out five whys for each of the big four. So it really gives you, like, this is what I want for my life. This is, like, all these different reasons why you're losing weight. It helps you expand your brain a little bit. The other thing is, you have an unrealistic goal, not based in reality. It's based in your desperation to get there. So what I want all of you to do is I want you to do something really simple. Do the math. Like if I'm like, and this is the thing, this is how much I would like to weigh in 60 days. That means that each week I will need to have lost X amount of pounds. Am I willing to do the work that requires me to lose that many pounds? So like if you're somebody who's like, I want to lose 4 pounds a week, but you also want to be someone who plans Cheetos every night and has wine on the weekend, you need to adjust your realistic goal. I want you to balance your goal, and there's no right or wrong, with what you want to be doing over the next 60 days. If you're not ready to give up certain foods, then just ask yourself, like, what is the easiest way? What is the best number that I can lose weight in a week, given that I'm going to want to eat these things and I'm going to want to have these on my plan? It might mean at the end of 60 days that I'm going to lose a little less weight than I want, but I'm going to gain confidence in planning, assurance that I can do this, and like some peace of mind that I can start controlling myself around foods that I've always told myself I could never have. Can you make some of those trades? Because I guarantee you, if you had those three things at the end of 60 days, the next 60 days, you can level up a lot. Level up all you want when you got those things blowing the sales. And then the last one is you didn't have a realistic plan based on where you are and that's addressing the near future. And that kind of ties back into what I was just talking about. I want you to think about, okay, you're here. I'm not giving you a food list. Don't ask me for one. You can go Google anything you want. You can go Pinterest anything you want. You don't need another freaking food list. If you want to know what healthy is, God made it. It won't hurt. Came from the ground. It's probably pretty good for you. This is not rocket science. Not at all. We're going to work on what the real problems are, which is not trusting yourself around food at times and then being face down in food. Those are the things we have to end. You don't need to know if a banana is okay. So what I'm going to have you do is on your own, you're going to look back at the past 30 days and how you wanted to show up for yourself. Give yourself a rating of 1 to 10. And this is the best part of it. You're not allowed to beat yourself up. You can explain your rating, but you cannot do it with self-deprecation. There's no, I was bad, I wasn't good enough, I was out of control, none of that. Explain your rating. Like I put on here, I planned most days. I did drink off plan twice and overdrank twice by 2 glasses. I also cleaned my plate most meals at night. I noticed my evenings are where I go past my 2. Do you see how boring that is? This is what it doesn't read. I planned most days, but like usual, I failed the others. I drank off plan twice. What a loser I am. Maybe I'm an alcoholic. I overdrank twice. That's probably why I'm, you know, feeling like shit all the time. I also cleaned my plate. That's probably not normal. Normal people don't do that. I noticed my evenings are where I go past my 2. See, all those years of eating in my bed when I was a kid are rearing their ugly head. Guys, it should not read like a novella. It needs to read boring as all get out. Number 2, did something get in your way? For me, I put on here, you know, honestly, once we ran out of food and JJ, like my niece got sick, couldn't come, couldn't deliver our food. She does our food prep for us. Y'all know my Aunt JJ is my sister-in-law. And we went out to eat. And on the night that we went out to eat, I didn't say no to wine. I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. That's good to know. What did you tell yourself about the last 30 days? You're going to answer that. And do you want to believe those things? What do you feel you succeeded with food, health, and weight? I put on here, dig deep. Do not check out and say, nothing. I don't know. Find something. At some point, if you don't have anything, if you're listening to the words coming out of my mouth, in the past 30 days, I know you did one damn thing. You decided to join PNP. So if you don't have anything else, you have that. But I want you to think, all right, if I was going to really, like, most days, I do decent for breakfast. Like, I'm pretty good about getting my sleep. Like, you need to convince your brain that it does some stuff right. You can't let it just go to the trash. Then what specifically do you need to acquire more knowledge about in the next 60 days to be successful? What I want you guys to do is I want you to post in the comments something like one thing, just one thing that you think, like, you know, in the next 60 days, this is probably the one thing I need to learn that's going to help me the most. Kathy's going to just watch the comments and she's going to take about the top five things that get repeated. And then we're going to put in the show notes of this call, those things with a couple of the resources in PNP where you guys can go, oh, okay, if I go here, then I can dig into that. So we're going to take the five most popular. I know it's moving fast, but Kathy is really good at this shit. So just saying. Did you have a goal and was it realistic? Why or why not? If you didn't have a goal, just put like, no, I didn't because I gave up on myself. I didn't want to set one through the holidays, whatever it was. Did you have daily realistic plans for your weight loss goal? What does your past 30 days of plans or your lack of plans, what's teaching you about the next 60 days? I want you to notice, I'm having you think about what happened and how it can set you up for your success. Not what happened, no wonder I'm a loser. All right. The goal worksheet in 60 days. It's February 26th if you're listening tonight on December 30th. You can mark your date whenever you want. You will weigh or have lost what? That is what I'm going to want you to think about. I don't want you to do it right now. I want you to really think about this. When we're done here, I want you to mull over that idea of what is realistic for me, what's very achievable, what meets me where I'm at in terms of what I want to be eating the next few weeks? What do I want to keep in my diet? And what am I ready to say goodbye to? There may be some foods you're, you know, like, you know what? This is some bullshit eating right here. Like, I could probably get rid of that. If I can keep this, that, I'm pretty good about saying no to that now. Like, I want you to think about it, and then I want you to commit. Like, whatever that version of you is, like, well, I probably could be losing then this amount with that version of me. That's how you do this realistically. That's how you set yourself up for success. You don't just be like, I need to lose like 20 pounds in 60 days or I'm going to feel like a loser. Like, in 20 days, I better be down 20 pounds. It'll be suck if I don't. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous thinking. You don't need to be in a rush to get there. I'm going to teach you how to start loving yourself like tomorrow and tonight. We don't have to weigh 20 pounds less to be nice to ourselves, guys. We get to start that shit whenever we're ready to turn it on. So then you're going to write your whys on here. If you do that compelling reason worksheet that's in the planner course, pick the five out of the 20 that you love the most. Like, read it, highlight it. If you don't do that worksheet, then just write five things. Then I want you to list five reasons why right now you think this can't or won't happen. It's really good. Here's the thing. There's a little piece of all of us that's a little, like, self-doubty. There's that woman. She's sitting in the corner like, she's like our mother. I don't know about that. Did you look at yourself before you walked out of the house? That version of you has a voice. We don't need to hate her. We don't need to quiet her. And we don't need her to retire and go away. What we need to do is understand that she's there so she's not sabotaging us. So you want to actually list, what are five reasons right now that I'm thinking that this might not happen? I might as well be honest. There's no sense in lying. If I tell myself the reasons why, then when I think them later, I'll be like, oh, that's one of those things that I like to think is going to keep me from making my next best decision. That's not a problem. It's just a thought that I'm having right now. Corinne is teaching me that my thoughts aren't a problem anymore. It's my acting on them and hating on them, believing them, not questioning them. That might be the problem. So I highly recommend you think about this, because I want you to know stuff that you're going to use as excuses and justifications. And then on the back, here's what I'm going to want you to do. You are going to take these things and you are going to come up with a plan of action. So if somebody is on this call who has a King Ding Dong excuse they like to use, with one of your five, and you want to get coached real quick on what are we going to be doing about it, raise your hand. All right. Sue, Benedict, you were first. You were fast. Well, this thing is like acting like a donkey. Hello, Sue. Hey, Sue, you're on camera.
Oh my gosh.
You had your hand raised. Did you want to go over what your excuses were? She didn't want to. Okay. That's awesome. I don't know if anybody has ever hung up on me. Natalie France, let's do you. Sorry, Sue. Let me tell all the newbies something else too while we're getting Natalie settled in. If you come on a call, you have to be seated. I get car sick real easy, and when people walk me around a room, I start getting sick behind the desk. Oh, wait, Sue, I already called on somebody else. I don't know what happened. All right. Tell me why you can't do this or it's not going to happen.
Oh my gosh. The funny thing is the first one I'm like, oh, why do I love myself? Why do I deserve this? I don't know. It's all blank. And then list the five reasons why I think I can or won't. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. So mm-hmm. my five were stress at work, food, just in general, work gets to me a lot of the time. Not planning, eating like shit, and time. Okay. I know I'm a single mom. Mm-hmm. I work 10 hours a day. I'm actually gone from home 11. It's really hard and I struggle with it a lot. And I just,
what is really hard about it?
Cause I wake up at 5.
Okay. So we're getting up at 5 a.m.
ready. Yeah. 5 a.m. I have to get myself ready. I have to get my little one. She's 3. So she's a toddler.
What time does she wake up? Ready.
I get her up at 7 so we can leave.
Okay. So you have 2 hours by yourself.
Correct. But I have to drink my coffee. I'm not one to rush and jump out of bed. I putz around. I try to do my journal. I watch the news. I mean, I'm
okay. Let me ask you this: we just weren't watching the news because I'm going to break this down for you because you have your Do you want? Do you want to lose weight?
Yes.
Do you want in a year from now to be able to tell me, girl, I know all the things that have happened in the news. I didn't lose any weight, but girl, do you know what happened on July 12th?
I do. I can just look at my Facebook feed, look, it's snowing outside. Okay, there's the news. So five to seven is my time. I take my shower, I get myself ready, I pack my lunch, but then I go to work.
I point this out because you led off with, I am a single mom, which is a fact, yes. But you didn't say any of your story like it was just factual. You described your life as hard.
You're right.
And when I asked you about, like, tell me about your mornings, you're like, I have 2 hours to myself and I watch the news instead of doing my planner. And I'm going to tell you the reason why you're doing that is because you think your life is hard rather than thinking, I need to start creating the life I want.
Maybe in my own thoughts or what I think is it's my escape. It's my time to be
alone. It is your
alone.
Escape.
It's
you're
like
escaping
literally
from your thought, life is hard. Like, you have to.
Because when I get home from daycare, when I pick her up from daycare, I have to make dinner. I have to do dishes. I have to spend time with her. By the time I put her to bed at 9 o'clock.
But you're describing your life like it's hard.
Okay.
This is the hardest thing for people to separate from. Because in your mind, it's a fact. What I'm trying to show you is the way you're describing your life sets you up to watch the news every morning instead of planning for how you're going to show up in the evening for yourself. You're not spending time in the morning thinking about, you know what, tonight I'm going to come home really tired. And I'm going to tell myself, I have to take care of my kid. I have to do my dishes. I have to do all this other stuff. Rather than like, I'm going to do the dishes. I'm going to take care of my child. It is a vernacular change, but I will promise you, a vernacular change makes the difference. There are single mothers out there that do not take care of their children.
No, I know.
So you don't have to do shit.
Fucking amazing, mom. I don't, you know.
So why
didn't
you,
never...
like, let me ask you this. Why didn't you describe it like that? Why didn't you just say, why didn't you open this up with, here I am, Corinne. Every night I'm a fucking amazing mother who like takes care of my kids, who does the dishes and all the things. But you tell me like, oh no, it's hard. And I have to do all these things. And that's why I eat and watch the news every morning instead of planning.
You're right. You don't think of, I don't know. It's like you need a reality check. I needed a reality check of, you know, I do have time. I can't say that I don't have any time. That'd be a lie because I do have time. I get lazy. I choose not to do it.
How about we just choose not to rather than saying we're lazy? I'm going to guarantee you're not lazy.
I choose
single
not to
mothers
do it.
Are not lazy. That's my thought, and I will own that to the day all day. So I just don't think single mothers are lazy. But
single parent in general.
What I would love for you to do, we are at 6:08. So an hour and 8 minutes into this, and back it up 3. I want you to rewatch this one part.
Okay.
And when you went to war with me on what a fucking amazing mother you are, I want you to talk to yourself more like that on your own. I want you to defend yourself against that bullshit you tell yourself in the morning about, I'm a putzer. I'm a slow wake up. It's like, what if we just got up, drank our coffee, and did our plan? And then we can watch all the news we want. It's a decision.
Yeah.
And it's a decision you'll make when you quit describing your life as hard and you start describing your life as, I'm a fucking amazing single mom. I get it done every day. Sometimes I am tired. You know why? Because I'm fucking amazing. Not because my life's hard. You get to decide how you describe it.
I'm going to tell everybody that. Why are you so tired? Because I'm fucking amazing.
You should. Like, all the time. You should get a t-shirt made. You know who I am? Fucking Natalie, who's amazing.
I am pretty amazing.
Yes. But do you see, like, I want you to see the joy on your face. I really want you to watch this call. Because if you see the joy about, like, describing yourself that way, you will want to take care of yourself. Right now, you're just not describing yourself in a way that's joyful or amazing, and you're not taking care of yourself. You're telling yourself the eating and the checking out is how you, it's like, I just need the relief. You know what you need relief from? Not your life. Your bullshit thinking about your life. That's the hard part.
I agree 100%. You hit it.
Right. So So when you do this, when you go through your list of five things on your strategies, like when you say like time is an issue, what are the two things that I can do that help me overcome that this month? It might be like, all right, I'm going to like make my plan. I'm going to commit to 30 days of my plan before the news. That way you get to keep your news.
Yeah.
But you just don't prioritize your news over your plan.
You no, and I have a good accountability partner in the group that she actually lives local, which was really nice. And we text each other our plans every day. Now, do I stick with my plan is another completely different story. But, you know, I try to do a plan. I do. I'm honest with it. And I am real about it. You know, I don't have no carbs. You got to be kidding me. No carbs. Okay. I put a candy bar on mine every day. Do I have it? No, but it's there. I got to let it go at some point, but you know, baby steps.
Let it go today. Right now we're working on the other things. And so like you go through each thing and you come up with two things that you need to like wrap your head around. Like what are the two easiest strategies? It doesn't mean you have to put all the strategies into play tomorrow, but you have your list of bullshit of what's going to like, this is the stuff I'm going to be telling myself. And I'm actually, rather than just thinking about why I can't lose weight, I'm coming up with things I can try to do to help me along the way. Okay?
Okay.
Get the t-shirt made and then like take a picture and get me tried. I would love it.
I love you and thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God, it was such a good call. I enjoyed it. All right. Anyway, anytime I can drop the F-bomb like 500 times is amazing. All right, goal mindset. This is the next thing we're going to be doing. Who is someone you know that could accomplish your goal in 60 days? So I thought, all right, I'm going to pick two people. I know two people off the top of my head that could like, we were going back to weight loss. These are the two. I picked my husband because we all are like, oh yeah, so easy for men. No, it's not easy for men. You know what it is for men? They don't buy into their own excuses. Sometimes they don't want to do shit. And you know what? A lot of times they just don't like buy into their bullshit. That's not because it's easy for them. It's a choice. You thinking it's easy for someone else means that you think it's hard for you. And you just saw me coach someone about the thought of hard. We got to quit describing all this as hard all the time. It's an optional thought, guys. You can hang on to it if you want to, but I'm just going to tell you that the more you think things are hard, the harder you make it for yourself because you feel terrible. It's really not setting yourself up for success to try to change how you eat or not eat when you're not hungry and stuff when you feel down, pushed down by your own thinking. So I picked Chris and I picked my mentor, Brooke. These are two people that I think have mental ninja skills. And if they needed to lose like 10 pounds or 100 pounds or 2 pounds, whatever, I am sure they could just do it. So what do they do each week to set themselves up for success? Like we're going to think about the actions of these people. They make plans, they commit, they track behaviors. They get obnoxious about the goal. They're very focused on it. They start prioritizing the goal over prioritizing their comfort. So like what we just talked about with Natalie, it's like she doesn't have to have like give her child away or change jobs and stuff, but she could probably make a 2-minute plan in the morning before the news begins. We all have these things where we could prioritize a little bit and no one really has to suffer over it. If we put our brains to work on that, what are their non-negotiables? They do every day, no matter what, to lose weight. I put Chris, he would have his food on the ready. He just would. He would not be leaving it up to chance, leaving it up to whims, the world working in his favor. He'd be like, no, this is what I'm eating. And you know what? He would eat it when he doesn't want to eat it. If he didn't like what he picked that week, you know what he would do? Change it up the next week. He'd finish it out for the week. He'd figure he can make it through the week. He would arrange everything to make it very easy for him to pull the trigger. So would Brooke. She would just set it up to where it's easy to follow through. It's a lot easier to eat what you're supposed to at night if you actually write the shit down versus hoping, wishing, and praying at night that you'll like have your shit together. Hope is not a strategy. They pick, they pick things that are easy to do that they're going to feel compelled to follow through on. So like I watch Chris do this all the time. He sets up his schedules. He sets up things like when he wants to learn how to run, he runs at like 3.2 miles per hour because he wants to make sure that he runs at a pace he's going to enjoy and be able to listen to an audio book and stuff. So he doesn't dread it. He looks forward to it. When are they going to eat out? And what do they do ahead of time? When they overeat, what do they do after the overeat? These are the things to be thinking about. They're thinking, what do they think about every day when it comes to their goal? I put on here, it's what we're doing. These are not complicated thoughts that you have to come up with. You just think every single day, like, this is what we're doing today. I have a plan. I'll have other thoughts about it. That's okay. But this is what we're doing. You just kind of keep redirecting the toddler brain back to this is what we're doing today. This is what we're doing today. I know you want that over there. This is what we're doing today. Then you go down to what do they think about that makes them successful or what they don't think about. Like Chris and Brooke never think this shit's hard. I watch myself try to this thing like, oh, this is so hard. I don't want to do this. I tell myself all the time, do not lie. You obviously want to be doing it. You know why? Because you're doing it. I also tell myself very often wanting to do it is not a critical factor in getting it done. Sometimes I'm going to do stuff that I don't feel like I want to do in the moment. And that's okay too. There's no whining about it. They don't whine before they do it. When they are tempted by food, what do they think in the moment? You can go through this, but this is where you drop into somebody who's successful. What would they be doing? This is another good worksheet for you guys to take it to the Facebook group. Ask some of our successful people. What do you think about this? Like put up a couple of questions. Anybody in here who's lost weight, guys, these questions, what are your answers to these? See what those girls are doing. If you don't have someone in your life. And then this is how to get your shit right. This is the PNP strategy. You guys can read this, but we have what I call minimum baseline check. You're going to be doing no BS. You're not in the Facebook group. You are not doing all the calls. You are not trying to listen to everything that comes out of my mouth. You're like, this is what I need to do to get my weight off. And this is all I got time and capacity for right now. Then we have our moderation mama who's going to layer in maybe a call every week. They're going to consider an accountability partner. They're going to ask a few questions. And then we have our deep dive diva. You are the person who's like, what time is every single thing happening? And I would like to keep running track of the Facebook group. There are people who want to do all the things. There's nothing wrong with all three. So you read this. Decide who you are a great fit for in PNP now. This is the guidelines, and then craft it into your own. There's no right or wrong way to do all this the next 60 days, y'all. Do not put pressure on yourself that does not need to be there. And then routines and resources. What I want you guys to do is I want you thinking about like an ideal morning routine. All I want to say about this part is I want you to make sure you start realistic. Just like I was talking about with Natalie, we're not going to get up in the morning. She's got 2 hours. I didn't say, all right, we're going to get up at 5 a.m. I know that you don't like to be a go-getter at first thing, but I'm going to need you to do like 20 burpees, run around your block, do all the things. Like, no, start realistic. You know what's realistic for her? That plan comes before the news now. For sure. And I'm just going to check in early with my accountability partner. And maybe she's going to layer in like 3 minutes in her journal, in her PNP planner, in that blue box. She's going to write each day, what do I want to think about when I get home? I know evenings are a time when I typically tell myself it's hard. I typically tell myself I have too much to do, that I don't have time. She could write about that one thing for a solid month of like, how do I want to think about my evening tonight? The next day, how am I thinking about my evening tonight? The next day, how do I want to think about my evening tonight? The next day, how did I think about my evening when I actually got home yesterday? Like it could just be all about the evening and about what she wants to think about it. So come up with an ideal morning routine for you. When do you want to be getting up? How much water are you going to be drinking? What do you like on an ideal day, on a typical day? What do you want your day to look like? Eventually work towards that. What can you layer in now to get there? And then do the same thing with your evening. And then I want you to think about, what am I going to listen to in PNP? Everybody is no BS. I don't give a damn how long you've been here. Will you please freaking do the no BS? Like, it's a gift to me if you will do it. And then I want you to think about the live calls. Am I going to attend live calls or not? Am I going to listen to recorded calls or not? They're optional. Am I going to be one who does it? When is the ideal time I'm going to be listening to replays? What's the best time in my life for me to do it? So that I just know, like, oh, I won't forget if I know these are the best times. And then, do I want an accountability partner or group? Yes or no? Are you going to request one from us? You going to find one in a chat? What are you going to do? And on a scale of 10, I want you to come up with how committed you are. And then the bottom line, you're just going to bottom line this out. The three most important questions on here. One thing I'm going to remind myself of when things get hard. One of my most important whys for losing weight is, guys, I'm going to hammer this on you all the time. You've got to know why you're doing it. And the people in my life who want me to succeed are Natalie, it's probably her daughter. She's 3 years old. The version of her daughter, who's 20, wants to be a confident woman who watched a confident, amazing fucking mama who never used her life as a single mom as an excuse. And I say that because I'm a grown-ass woman at 45 who had a mom who described her life as very hard for many years. And I wish she hadn't have had to done that. So you all need to be thinking, who in your life is waiting for you? Somebody is. And I think it's probably one of the most important questions we have on here, because we get so up in our head about our weight loss and we forget that there are people who love us, who do not want this burden for us anymore. And you are the guys that are going to have to be solving it. They can't help you. They probably want to, but they don't know how. They're going to think help is telling you to go get that keto and quit listening to me. They're going to think helping you is when you are just trying to be a better version of you and it's hard and they see you tired and whatnot and they remember you relaxing with food at night, they're going to want you to eat and they're going to think that's taking care of you. Majority of the people in our lives are doing their best because they want to see us succeed. They want to see us happy. Let's show them that there's a new way that you can do it. Okay. If y'all have, let me see if there's any questions that I didn't answer over here. Trisha, the training is over in about 5 minutes. Where are the show notes found? When we upload this to the website, it will be in the post. So this will be in the replays. We are also putting that. We'll put this in two places. We'll make sure it'll actually be, this will be in the weight loss resources in bonus courses. This will be listed as a bonus course. So the replay will go there. We will put a message in the Facebook group. And then we'll make sure, Kathy, in the Massive Action Line that goes out this week, the newsletter, to just put a link to this course, this class is available for anybody who wanted to take it, because a lot of people are going to join this week and they weren't here for it. I do the capsules for Sleep Remedy. And kind of talked about how can I set myself up to be consistent the first 60 days. It's having a plan, doing all the work that's in here. Understanding the difference between your worthy fails and your escape fails. Having an accountability partner you're checking in with. Those are the ways. Figuring out, like, if you're going to be consistent, if your goal is to be consistent, then what you do has to be easily achievable. do not say I want to be consistent and you're trying to like cut the bread, start a 1 hour exercise regimen every single day. And I don't know, go to bed at 7 when you normally go to bed at midnight. Don't tell me you want to be consistent when your plan is like smoke and mirrors. Consistency is built on the back of showing up day in and day out for stuff that you know is so easy for you to show up. You got to start where you're at. All right. I think I've covered everything else. I'll be traveling during the first 60 days to Africa. What is your travel protocol? 2 to 2, baby. I take my planner. If I know what I'm going to be eating that day, I write it down. If I don't, it's my hunger scale. I don't eat when I'm not hungry. I don't have a big travel protocol. We do have some resources, though. If you go to the Weight Loss Resources and Bonus Courses, there is a cheat sheet for how to travel. What do you do when you don't know where you're going? What do you do when you're on vacation kind of stuff? So you can take a look at that, too. That'll help. All right, guys. Y'all have a good one. I hope you enjoyed it. Welcome to all my newbies. Not every call is like extremely long. I try to, well, let's just be honest. I'm long-winded, but we always have the replays. And then we do have some short bit things coming out for starting on Wednesday, January the 1st. We're going to be having a little daily snippet video or something from me that's less than 10 minutes to help you guys with your first 60 days to set you up. I am all about the 60 days. You'll have a good one. Bye, y'all.